You are listening to the Night and Day podcast, featuring the interview archives of Western New York music writer Tom Jennings. Tom has interviewed some of the biggest names in music and entertainment, and now you can enjoy these never-before-heard interviews. Here's your host, Tom Jennings.
Welcome to another edition of Night and Day. This is Tom Jennings, your host. This week we have a pretty special interview that I did a few years back with Lou Gramm of Foreigner. I'm going to pre-warn you about a couple of things in this particular audio recording. One, I recorded it outside a factory in Medina, New York, which is located between Buffalo and Rochester, and there is a chirping bird that you will hear prominently as a special guest throughout the interview. So the audio quality is definitely impacted by that. The interview itself, I mean, as far as interviews that I've done over the years, this one is, as I listen back to it, there is some really, really good stuff. It starts out a bit clunky, takes a little while to kind of get going and whatnot. We usually have about 15 minutes for these interviews, and it just, I don't know. I don't know if it was a question of my not being quite as prepared as I typically am for an interview, just because I felt in my mind maybe I knew the subject so well, because it's an artist that I grew up listening to since I was old enough to listen to music. And as, you know, people who live in the Rochester, New York area, they know Lou Gramm because he's an icon out here. He was the biggest success story as far as a national recording artist. I mean, we've had some other people that have come out of the Rochester, New York area, Cab Calloway, Chuck Mangione, you know, people like that who have had some national success. But Lou, as far as a rock musician, I mean, he's hands down the biggest guy that we've ever had come out. So, this was, as I mentioned it, this was the third time I'd interviewed him. I did a video interview for Backstage Access that's still online, I believe, right after Lou wrote his autobiography. That was a fantastic interview. He's such an easy guy to talk to. And if you run into him, which you can in Rochester at like a store or something, he has no problem just sort of chatting with you and whatnot. Just doesn't have any of that sort of rock star ego about him, which is one of the many things that I love about the guy. Again, I'll let this run. I apologize. The audio quality just in general is a little bit rough, and in patches, I think Lou's a little bit low. I'm way too high in the mix. I definitely talk too much. Yes, I'm talking too much now. So you'll hear that throughout the course of the interview, that there's a different kind of, you know, we all make mistakes when we interview people, especially if it's someone that you're excited to interview. And sometimes you just need to step back. And I probably didn't do the best of job in doing that. Nevertheless, I said, if you catch it about maybe 5-7 minutes in and you don't bail on it too soon and say, this is awful, I can't handle the bird or I can't handle the audio quality, there really is some great stuff. So anyhow, here's my interview. It's the second piece that I have of some Foreigner material. I'll be putting up probably some more Lou Gramm, which I've got another one that I can edit down, and then Kelly Hansen, who's Foreigner's current lead singer, and I've got a couple with Tom Gimbel, who is kind of a versatile guy, one of the longest member aside from Mick Jones and Foreigner today. I've got a couple interviews with him that we'll be able to put up, so we'll continue this Foreigner vein, get some other stuff up for you, but all that being said, here's my interview with Lou Gramm.
You know, there's artists like you, there's Mick and everybody else seem to be still out there performing, having live concerts, drawing well. Does it seem like that there's not another solid generation ready to pick up from where you guys are continuing to go?
I mean, I think every generation kind of has their own musical moniker, but you definitely hear influences from artists in our generation. I think that the new generation of music has some real strong talent, and it seems to me that whether it's taking a little time or a long time, it's rising to the top. And groups that certainly excite me.
Who are those groups that excite you? I'm just out of curiosity. I'm wondering who you're listening to these days.
Well, my younger kids have turned me on to a couple bands. It's the band that the singer is on American Idol or I'm trying to think of his name. Yeah, Ed Sheeran is awesome. I think Bruno Mars is very good. And Maroon 5. That's what I was thinking of. There's just some terrific singers and songwriters Nick Jonas. I think, you know, I didn't like the Jonas Brothers, so to speak, but I think him on his own, he has kind of a different personality, and I'm liking some of the things that he's doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's an interesting assessment. It's kind of weird that you take an artist out of a band situation, and they really get to be, you know, they really get to do some very interesting stuff. You mentioned your kids and everything like that, and I mean, what is the sense your kids have as far as you as a musician? You know, I mean, I kind of pose this question to a lot of famous rock stars. You know, it seems like maybe the kids' interest level on their parents' music can be from like, wow, this is really cool, to it's just my dad.
I think it's probably all of that, and maybe more. I've taken them to shows since they were 4 or 5 years old, and at one point they were joining me on stage for Hot Blooded. When they were 7 or 8 years old, they'd come up and sing Hot Blooded with me, our last song of the night. So you know, they've seen it from a distance, been immersed in it, and now hear music of their generation, and while they have their favorites, I think they still like and respect many of the things that I've done.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they better or else.
Yeah, it's funny because I said I hear a lot of different takes. You know, there's just kids that, you know, parents that say, my kids just don't. They, like, if they see an old video, they laugh like any parent would at an old video. But, you know, maybe it's different because, I mean, in your case, obviously, you know, you're back in Rochester. And in Rochester, even when your publicist reached out to me, because I'd interviewed Nils Lofgren last week, who I know you guys are friends.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, he said, hey, you know, would you be interested in interviewing Lou Gramm? You know, I said, man, Lou Gramm, I grew up in Rochester. How would I not want to interview Lou Gramm? I mean, in this city, we've always loved you. But, and that kind of leads me into maybe the next step, because the show that I'm writing up, it's in North Tonawanda. And Buffalo, obviously, isn't that far from Rochester, but very different culturally. And I mean, what was your experience when you've been coming through Buffalo as far as the reception? I mean, it must be a little bit different than what you get in your hometown of Rochester.
Honestly, not that different. I think it's because in my early band years, I played at a number of Buffalo clubs, from McVan's to the Barrelhead. Been thrown out of a few of them, but always had good experiences in Buffalo, and not only would our fans from Rochester drive to Buffalo, I think the Buffalonians were real good to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, really in our region between Buffalo and Rochester, the two maybe three major acts that came out of the area, I mean, Goo Goo Dolls, you with Foreigner, and then, you know, Duke Jupiter was on the brink, and Talas was kind of on the brink, but,
yep.
You know, it's those are bands that said you really wonder why they weren't able to kind of overcome that hump, but, I mean, those are the big music acts that we all grew up with.
Yeah, you're right.
And one thing, you know, we've never said, so this is our third interview together. One thing we've never brought up, and I don't know why I haven't until now, but a lot of people, when they hear that I've talked to you or whatever, they always bring up, you're a car aficionado. So it really doesn't get written about a lot. I know when I was at your studio, I think you even had some classic cars in there as well.
Yeah, that's where I keep them.
So what are your favorites, and when did you start to get into cars?
Well, I've been a car nut since I was about 7 or 8 years old, and you know, as the closer I got to getting my license, I came deeper into the hobby or fascination or addiction. You know, it was always about the look and the speed and how it was set up. And you know, as soon as I was old enough to get something that qualified in that area, I've been tinkering ever since.
So, I mean, Rev on the Red Line, classic song, you know, the reference to Rochester, I mean, every time, you know, running all night on Lake Avenue and everything. Question being is that, I mean, were you doing that? Were you actually, I mean, I think you wrote about it a little bit in your book, but...
I was. I mean, it was, you know, when Black Sheep wasn't playing, it was a thing that would start probably Thursday nights a little bit and get very busy on Fridays and Saturdays, and then a little bit on Sunday too. You know, you'd go from I'd go right down Lyle Avenue, right to State Street, and turn left, and as soon as it became Lake Avenue, you'd start catching other guys in muscle cars, and the idea was to catch a light, a red light, and then you know, you wouldn't race a quarter of a mile or anything. You'd stoplight race until the next light. You know, and the guy who was losing would usually peel off one way or the other, and then another muscle car would come and replace it. And you know, that was a ton of fun. And for some reason in those days, I didn't see a lot of policemen on Lake Avenue, and the ones I did see didn't seem that interested in making a big deal out of it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like everything. It just seems like it's a different time. I mean, you were also performing in hockey arenas that were completely filled with smoke to the point you probably couldn't see past the third row, and now if somebody lights a cigarette, they may actually be escorted out.
That's right. Things are way different then.
So, that being said, you know, looking at your audiences today, I mean, I know I've been very blessed as far as being able to follow your career, and I've seen so many cool shows. Acoustic, when you played at the German House, I got to see with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh boy!
You know, and it's just I mean I can't even imagine. It's just these different settings with all of your music. I mean, when you were standing up there and a bunch of kids are holding up their lighters and smoking whatever they were smoking, did you ever have the foresight to kind of look forward and go, you know, would rock music ever be able to be presented in all these different mediums with such respectability?
I hadn't spent a second thinking about it, probably because I couldn't imagine hearing it any other way than the way we were doing it at that moment. But you know, as time goes by and different forms of music kind of have their ebb and flow, you know, the thought of singing the songs with an orchestra actually is incredibly exciting. You know, it's just so different.
Yeah, I mean, you were smiling that night like you you were getting a candy shop. It was a great show.
And you know what? It can be heavy too. I mean, heavy. You know, in the dark parts of the songs, like Jukebox Hero and stuff like that. During those, some of those verses and B sections, it was making my hair stand on end.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was great though. That I forgot about the show where the guy painted the mural behind you as well. I mean, just
oh, that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot of great shows. You know, I'll wrap up. I've got Sid usually runs about 15 minutes, so I don't have to transcribe my arm off. But you know, one thing, and again, here's another subject. I don't know that you want to necessarily touch on it or whatever. I mean, I assume you do. You know, your last solo album, just a beautiful Christian album, a lot of deep religious meaning, and I know there's a lot of people that don't realize the spiritual aspect of your life, and obviously if they read your book they would know it. But you know, I mean, again, going from rock star to Christian album, do you feel like everything's kind of come full circle for you in your career and in your life?
Well, it's certainly, I think I'm paying attention to the things that much more, and putting priorities where they ought to be, and you know, my not necessarily my religion, but you know, my worshiping of God and what He means to my life and my family is first and foremost, and you know, and everything comes after that, and you know, life is what it is, and I have no complaints about my career, and you know, I'm liking what I hear now from new people. I don't feel that I'll be doing this too much longer, and I'm gonna when I close up shop, I'm still gonna have a big smile on my face, because I think I'm gonna continue. I'm gonna start producing people, and I'm gonna continue writing songs, and hopefully they'll find a home with somebody who's up and coming.
Yeah, well, I can't see that not happening. I mean, again, you've blessed a lot of people's lives, or God has worked through you to bless a lot of people's lives. You've brought us a lot of great music, and said on a personal level, having seen you and been able to share in sort of that hometown hero guy, you know, Lou Gramm making it big, it's been a very important part for our region culturally, and you know, just great stuff. But
thank you.
All right, well, on that note, Lou, again, can't thank you enough. Looking forward to seeing you in North Tonawanda. It's a pretty neat place. It's right on the Niagara River, and you should have a great turnout. We'll just hope that
do you have a press pass?
I don't. I haven't put in for one yet.
Well, come back and say hi.
Okay. Well, absolutely. All right. I will. I'll go ahead and email your publicist, and I would love to pop back and say hello. It's always great to see you.
Excellent.
All right.
I really enjoyed this, Tom. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lou. Thank you again, and from the bottom of my heart, again, I thank you from definitely the people of Western New York. I mean, you've really made this region very proud, and continue to do so. We love that we get those little special shows and everything like that. It just never gets old, you know?
Thanks. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, thanks, Lou.
Okay, see you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. As always, thank you so much for listening to the 90-Day Podcast. I don't have a million listeners, but everyone I have is very special to me. I know my brother-in-law, Jack, my sister, Kathleen, John Pohida, and I don't even think my wife listens to this, but I still love her anyway. Anyhow, keep an eye out. We'll be putting up some more episodes periodically, hopefully over the summer concert season. I'll get some new interviews. And if you're a country fan, I just spoke with Jennifer Nettles recently. That was a fun interview. Maybe we'll do something with Jennifer Nettles, Christian Bush, and Brandi Clark. We're all on tour together this summer, and lots more. So once again, thanks for listening. We'll look forward to seeing you some other day.